Please stand by, we're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the Galaxy Nutritional Foods, Inc. First Quarter 2004 Earnings Conference Call. Today's call is being recorded. Presenting on the call today, we have the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Chris New, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Salvatore Fornari, and SEC Compliance and Internal Auditing Manager, Mrs. Leanne Hitchcock. For opening remarks and introductions, I'd like to turn the conference over to the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Chris New. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope that you were able to dial in given the conditions we're having with our power outages around the country. We've had an eventful quarter, one filled with the finalization of our refinancing, establishing Textron Financial Corporation as our asset-based lender, and partnering with Fromagerie Bell for international business development. We immediately began turning these new resources into fuel for the business by replenishing our branded inventories, kicking off a distribution and marketing/advertising drive at retail, and initiating prospecting efforts in food service and the value products arena across many of our channels. While overall, retail, food service, and restaurant sectors continue to feel pressures from our softer economy, each day you pick up the paper, there's exciting news regarding the need for solutions to our overall poor eating habits and health issues. This momentum behind efforts to initiate, develop, and provide great-tasting, healthful products for American lifestyles is exactly the avalanche that we at Galaxy are positioning our products in front of. Our efforts during quarter one have been focused on our core competencies of number one, R&D. This is where our product quality begins and our technical insulation or intellectual property is established. Number two, manufacturing. Having our own plant gives us significantly greater control over product quality, scheduling, product line flexibility, efficiency, and effectiveness, and we've made terrific gains in all those areas. Essentially, we can service our customers better and maintain order fill and case fill rates in the 99 to 100% range from this point forward. This, of course, makes our customers very happy and, in turn, ourselves. Number three, producing and marketing branded Better For You cheese products and partnering with key retailers and food service players to provide value product entries in the marketplace. And the fourth area of core competency is maintaining a strong effort in the retail market as we're working to expand strategically and more aggressively into food service. So retail market's our platform as we go forward to expand. This being said, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Sal Fornari, our CFO, to report the results for first quarter. Sal?
Thank you, Chris. Good morning, everyone. I will now discuss some of the highlights of the results for the quarter ended June 30th, 2003, which is the first quarter of our current fiscal year, 2004. Hopefully, some of you have the financial statements which were attached to the press release which we sent out yesterday in front of you, so it will be easier to follow along. Please keep in mind that our fiscal year begins on April 1 and ends on March 31. Therefore, when I refer to our fiscal year 2003, it is for the period April 1, 2002 through March 31, 2003. As well, when I refer to our fiscal year 2004, it is for the period April 1, 2003 through March 31, 2004. I'm going to spend a substantially longer period of time going through some of the line items in our financial statements than we have done in our previous communications. We do have some rather technical and unusual line items on our financial statements, so I would like to present some detail on some of these for your benefit. Hopefully, I may be able to clear up some questions which you may have regarding our financials. So everyone, please bear with me as I go through these points. First, we'll start with the statement of operations. And the first line item, net sales. Net sales for the quarter ended June 30, 2003 were $8,695,781 versus net sales of $9,977,704 for the first quarter of the prior fiscal year, ended June 30, 2002. This represents a decline of approximately $1.3 million, or 13%, from the prior year. This net sales decline in Q104 was in line with our previously communicated guidance, which was presented with our prior year-end results. This decrease is primarily due to reduction in retail grocery sales as a result of management's decision to turn away lower-margin private label and sandwich slice business in order to use the company's limited cash resources prior to our refinancing on May 30, 2003, to purchase ingredients needed in the production of higher-margin branded items. Net sales were also minimized somewhat by the reduction in the number of core items produced in order to eliminate lower-velocity and lower-margin items. When Chris New joined Galaxy just about 2 years ago, the company had 400 core items approximately. Chris immediately cut the number of core items in half to 200. Since then, we have been reviewing on a regular basis as to which core items are not meeting our thresholds for velocity and margin. Once identified, these items are removed from our core items list and will no longer be produced. Currently, we have approximately 135 core items and will continue this review process going forward. These reductions have and will continue to enable our production crews and sales force to focus their efforts on our higher velocity and higher margin products. Even though this tactic has caused an initial decline in top-line sales, the benefits have already begun to show as our gross margin increased to 30% from 27% versus the first quarter of last year. The positive results of this strategy is clearly brought to light when you consider that our gross margin only decreased $96,000 from the prior year on $1.3 million of fewer net sales in the current year. I'd like to now go down to the operating expenses section of the statement of operations and start with the selling expenses. Selling expenses for the quarter ended June 30th, 2003 were $1,313,873, representing a 33% increase from $989,637 in selling expenses for the prior year. This increase was attributable to higher promotional and advertising costs in the current year. These costs were limited in the prior year due to the prior financial constraints of the company. Fiscal 2004 selling expenses are expected to increase versus fiscal 2003 based on management's current plan for expanding distribution of strategic products and advertising and promotional allowances that are focused towards specific regions and customers. We'll now go down to probably everyone's least favorite topic or line item is the non-cash compensation related to options and warrants. This was an expense of $1,307,131 for the quarter ended June 30th, 2003, compared to income of $1,637,261 for the prior year. As discussed during previous quarter's results, this line item is calculated under variable accounting methodology solely based on the company's stock price at the end of each quarter and has nothing to do with the operations of the company. Without going into great detail regarding the technical aspects of these calculations, the company values the non-cash compensation related to its securities on three primary items. The first item is the $12.7 million note receivable from a majority shareholder. This item had no effect on the current year numbers and contributed $1,690,286 of non-cash compensation income in first quarter fiscal 2003. The second point are the options and warrants repricing. This item is related to the repricing of certain options and warrants in October 2002. This item accounted for $834,000 of non-cash compensation expense in the first quarter of fiscal 2004. And the third component to this non-cash piece is actually a new point, which are the option and warrant issuances. The majority of this amount is regarding options and warrants that were issued during the first quarter of the fiscal year. Non-cash compensation expense of $486,000 and $51,000 were recorded related to this point in first quarter fiscal 2004 and 2003, respectively. Effective April 1, 2003, the company has voluntarily elected to record the expense of options granted to employees in its statement of operations. Prior to April 1, 2003, the company disclosed the value of options granted to its employees only in the notes accompanying the financial statements, rather than appearing as an expense in the statement of operations. Next, we can go down to the general and administrative expenses. The G&A expenses were $983,479 for the quarter ended June 30, 2003, versus $841,506 in the prior year. This represents a 17% increase as compared with the prior year, which was primarily due to higher personnel, legal, insurance, and director expenses in the current year. That brings us down to the income loss from operations line. We reported a $1,474,719 loss from operations in the first quarter of the current fiscal year, which includes the $1.3 million of non-cash compensation expense. If this $1.3 million of non-cash compensation expense was excluded, we would have reported an operating loss of $167,588. In the first quarter of the prior fiscal year, the company reported income from operations of $1,917,982, which included $1,637,261 of non-cash compensation expense. Excluding the $1.6 million of non-cash compensation income, previously it was income in the prior year, not expense. Apologize for that. So excluding the $1.6 million of non-cash compensation income, the company had operating income of $280,721. We'll now go down to the interest expense line. Interest expense is down substantially from the prior year. The current year interest expense was $495,385, representing a 45% decrease from $898,472 in the prior year. The prior year number included $307,000 of interest expense related to the amortization of debt discounts on the company's previous loan from Finova Mezzanine Capital. The current year number was also decreased as a result of lower debt balances and a 1.5 percentage point reduction in the prime rate versus the prior year. So our net loss for the quarter ended June 30, 2003 was $1,970,104, which includes the $1.3 million of non-cash compensation expense. First quarter of our prior fiscal year showed a net income of $1,019,510, which includes the $1.6 million of non-cash compensation income for that period. And now we'll go down to the preferred stock section, where you have your basic dividends. We're currently paying 8% on the preferred stock. And then we have a line item called Preferred Stock Accretion to Redemption Value. This line item was $894,929 for the quarter ended June 30, 2003, as compared to $339,277 in the first quarter of last year. As Leanne has explained on some of our previous calls, this item represents the difference between the initial carrying value of the Series A preferred stock and the estimated redemption value, including accrued dividends, based on a certain formula. This, again, is an accounting disclosure item that does not have anything to do with our actual operations. And you can refer to our 10-Q for further explanation of this very technical calculation, if you so desire. So our bottom line net loss to common shareholders for the quarter ended June 30, 2003 was $2,919,813, which includes the $1.3 million of non-cash compensation expense and the $950,000 of preferred stock dividends and accretion. The first quarter of the prior fiscal year showed a net income to common shareholders of $610,233, which included the $1.6 million of non-cash compensation income and the $409,000 of preferred stock dividends and accretion. This net loss available to common shareholders equates to a fully diluted net loss per common share of 21 cents for the quarter ended June 30, 2003, and a fully diluted net income per common share of 5 cents for the quarter ended June 30, 2002. We'll now turn to the balance sheet. And we'll start off in the assets section. Accounts receivable. Accounts receivable. As of June 30th, 2003, the company had outstanding trade receivables of $4,220,674. As of our prior fiscal year end, March 31, 2003, we had outstanding trade receivables of $5,109,247. This $1 million decrease in our trade receivables at June 30, 2003, as compared with March 31, 2003, is due primarily to lower sales and billing in the first quarter of this current fiscal year. Next, we'll move on to inventories. Inventories decreased slightly from March 31, 2003 to June 30, 2003. As of June 30, 2003, the company had total inventories of $5,161,497, which were comprised of $2.9 million in finished goods and $2.2 million in raw materials. As of March 31, 2003, inventories totaled $5,294,500, which were comprised of $3.1 million in finished goods and $2.2 million in raw materials. Next, we'll go down to book overdrafts. Book overdrafts were down substantially from $1.1 million at March 31, 2003, compared with $194,000 at June 30, 2003. This reduction was accomplished by paying off outstanding amounts in checks held once funds were made available after the refinancing on May 30, 2003. Next, we'll go down to the line of credit. This item represents net amounts due to our asset-based lender. At March 31, 2003, we had a loan balance outstanding of $4,939,894 with Finova Capital Corporation. As of June 30, 2003, we had a loan balance outstanding of $4,690,218 with Textron Financial Corp. Therefore, as of June 30, 2003, we had approximately $2.8 million of additional facility amount with Textron to draw on as our business grows. Okay, we'll go down to accounts payable. We have continued to make tremendous strides in bringing our accounts payable down substantially from prior periods. When I first started at Galaxy about 2 years ago, the company had outstanding accounts payable of approximately $8 million, almost all of which were past due, and had terms with only a minimal amount of vendors. Most purchases at that time were cash in advance due to the company's poor credit history at that time. I am happy to report that we have reduced this amount to $1.8 million as of June 30, 2003. We have also reestablished terms and are current with virtually all of our vendors presently. This amount should steadily grow, however, since we have now regained terms with the majority of our vendors, and as our business grows, our purchasing needs will grow proportionally. And I would just like to take a minute to thank our accounts payable manager, Michelle Long, for all of the hard work and long hours which she has put in over the past 2 years in helping us regain credibility and terms with our vendors. So thank you, Michelle. Next, we'll go down to a couple of line items referring to notes payable. We have the term notes and we have the subordinated notes. These line items reflect the payoff of the $4 million subordinated loan with Finova Mezzanine, as well as the new $2 million provided by SouthTrust Bank through the refinancing. Okay, we'll go down to now the redeemable convertible preferred stock line. This line item represents the current carrying value of the remaining 55,884 shares of Series A preferred stock based on the accretion of its redemption value, as I discussed earlier in the Statement of Operations section. This value was $3.1 million as of June 30, 2003, and $2.3 million as of March 31, 2003. Okay, the stockholders' equity section. Common stock and common stock and additional paid-in capital reflect the equity raise and the corresponding additional shares issued. As of today, we currently have 15,153,932 shares of common stock outstanding. And I'd just like to point out one final thing on the balance sheet. Our current ratio, which is the total current assets over total current liabilities, increased dramatically from 0.75 at March 31, 2003 to 1.0 as of June 30, 2003. This was accomplished through a $4.5 million reduction of our current liabilities, which was primarily comprised of a $2 million reduction in subordinated debt due to the Finova Mezzanine loan being paid off, a $957,000 reduction in book overdrafts, and a $779,000 reduction in accounts payable. Okay, we're almost in the home stretch here. Just bear with me a few more minutes. We'll move to the cash flow statement now, which will be the final piece I'll talk about. Under cash flows from operating activities, the company reported net cash used in operating activities of $138,377 for the 3 months ended June 30, 2003, compared to net cash provided by operating activities of $723,539 in the first quarter of the prior fiscal year. The increase in cash used in operations this year is primarily due to reductions in accounts payable and accrued liabilities, offset by collections on trade receivables. In the quarter ended June 30, 2002, the company received a large portion of its cash from operations by decreasing its inventory levels. Next, the investing activity section. There was no major change in net cash used in investing activities in quarter 104 versus quarter 103. And then finally, under financing activities, the company reported net cash provided by financing activities for the quarter ended June 30, 2003, of $226,360 as compared with net cash used in financing activities of $595,297 for the quarter ended June 30, 2002. In the current year, there was $4 million of cash used to pay off the subordinated note with Finova Mezzanine. There was also $2 million of cash provided by the new funding from SouthTrust Bank, and additionally, $3.85 million of cash was provided by private placements of our common stock. And we're just about done. Hopefully it was beneficial going through some of these line items on our financial statements with you, and that it brought clarity to some areas which you had concerns. Thank you for your time this morning, and now we'll pass it back to Chris New.
Thanks, Al. I appreciate the thorough review of our numbers, and I hope that the people who have called in do as well. I'd like to take a few minutes now to talk about some forward-looking comments. Initially, let's start off with Veggie and Soyco brands. We've maintained our leadership position with an 87.5 share in the retail grocery market over the past 13 weeks ending June. This IRI data clearly indicates that many of the largest branded conventional cheese players are experiencing significantly greater softness than we are. Some of their SKUs are off as much as 25 to 50% during the 13 weeks ending June. Now, to grow our retail sales business, our company will continue to focus and drive implementation efforts against our previously stated planned initiatives, which include, number one, communicating our positioning to consumers as the superior smart choice cheese. Number two, leveraging consumer insights to gain competitive advantage in our product quality. That's integral to our strategy. Number three, increasing product availability, visibility, and optimum offerings on the shelf. That's where execution comes in. We've got to have the right products on the right shelves at the right time with the right mix. Number four, selectively regaining some of our value product arena. And that, what I mean, is private label and sandwich slice business. Number five, we're reallocating some funds from trade spending and investing them in consumer pull programming. We articulated earlier that we wanted to become more of a consumer pull kind of company and be less dependent upon trade spending to initiate brand growth. We're implementing efforts towards that end in quarter one and quarter two of this year, and it will continue through the rest of the year. Number three, leveraging public relations efforts and activities behind very top-of-mind health trends and company initiatives. Again, every day you pick up the paper, you see the new health trends, you see the momentum building, and we're taking advantage of that through our public relations efforts and key tactical plans at the sales level. In food service, the company intends to increase our sales efforts to respond to the rapidly rising trend for healthier menu items in both the casual dining and the high-end restaurant arena. And we're doing a very good job of starting to prospect and focus in on some of those areas and believe we'll be making progress there in the very near future. At this time, we anticipate that our second quarter fiscal 2004 results will generally be in line with our first quarter results, as additional time is required for our growth initiatives to take hold. We are confident that we are deploying the proper strategies and tactics and must continue to work diligently with key accounts to ignite our business. So with that, at this time, I think we'll field questions from the callers.
Thank you. Today's question and answer period will be handled electronically. If you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please be sure to turn off your mute function in order for your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, if you'd like to ask a question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. We'll pause a moment to assemble our question roster. Once again, if you would like to ask a question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. We go next to Henry Melman with John Hancock.
Hi, Chris. I'd just like to get an idea. You mentioned quickly about the fulfillment rate and your expectation of getting 99 to 100%. Could you tell us what it was for this quarter? And is it the expectation of getting to 99% next quarter?
Yeah, Henry, we actually have had about 8 weeks in a row of 100% fill rates. So I expect that quarter two will look just like quarter one, where we'll be between 99 and 100. So I'm rounding 99 to 100, but we are really doing a nice job. Our customer service team and operations team has done a terrific job of getting the right products in the inventory and making sure that we're matching up with our orders exactly what needs to go through. So Timothy McCall, who runs our logistics department and scheduling transportation, really pulls all that together and is responsible ultimately for making that happen. And it's done a great job. We're there now.
What was that number last year, approximately?
Last year, this time, it was probably in the 80 range, and a year before that, it was around 40.
Okay. Do you feel that you have enough capital now to expand and be able to fulfill to more customers or fulfill greater lines to existing customers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, our strategy now is clearly we have better margins, we have greater efficiencies, we have better controls and handle on the business. And now as we expand strategically, we'll go SKU by SKU, account by account, and fill voids, add new segments to the industry, and begin to roll ourselves forward here, self-funding ourselves.
So there's no capital constraint on growth right now?
No, we raised $2.8 million.
Yeah, right. But given that, there's no capital constraint.
Right, Henry. And as I stated earlier, we do have upside of $2.8 million on our line right now with Textron, so we feel we're in good shape.
Okay. I'll let someone else. I've got one or two other questions, but I'll let someone else ask theirs.
All right. Appreciate you calling.
Okay.
We'll go next to Kyle Kruger with Apollo Capital.
Morning, Chris. Morning, Sal.
Hi,
Kyle.
Morning,
Kyle.
Couple of housekeeping issues. When do you guys expect to mail the proxy?
We're currently, it's with the SEC for review, and we're hoping to get a response actually by today, hopefully. And as soon as we get that response, we'll be sending it for printing and so forth, and it should be mailed out shortly thereafter.
Okay.
The shareholder meeting is tentatively scheduled for September 30th, 2003 at this point.
Okay.
We'll confirm that as soon as we can confirm the mailing of the proxy.
Okay. Okay. And on the Textron covenant modification, Sal, was there any quid pro quo associated with getting them to relax that covenant?
No, not at all. They were very receptive to it and understood that we only had 30 days basically out of the quarter to work with the new money and get things up and running. So there was no problem at all, and they were very understanding.
Yeah. So they didn't. You didn't get more rate or less availability or anything.
No. Not at all. The terms are the same. We actually, tweaked the valuing of the ratios from a monthly basis to a quarterly, which will be easier for us as well. And we got the waiver extended through the end of September. So the next time we have to meet the ratios will be for the quarter ended 12/31/03, and at that point we should be up and running, and we should be able to meet that ratio without any problem.
Yeah, gotcha.
Primarily due to the sales being so light in the first quarter, and that's why we didn't meet that ratio.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Chris, have you seen any of the recent initiatives start to take hold?
Yeah, and that's just all relative. A lot of our initiatives, like I said, are distribution-driven and initiating marketing and advertising programs. And, just here in the state of Florida where you are, we're getting acceptance at Cash & Carry, at Winn-Dixie. We're starting to get authorizations again around the country, and now we need to turn those authorizations into actual shipments to the warehouse, then those shipments will go out to retail stores. So, as I articulated in the past couple of calls, it takes about 120 to 190 days from the time you start investing your cash and money and starting your distribution drive to have that take place. So our plan has been backloaded. We see the growth happening the second half of the year instead of the first half of the year, and these initiatives are all in place. We're starting to get points of distribution, and now it's our job and our broker's job and so on to translate that into actual shipments to retail and to food service.
Yeah. Now, are you still comfortable at this point with the previously articulated goal of 10% sales growth for the whole year?
Yeah, we are. We're slightly off our plan in the first quarter of the year. But we believe that we're doing the right activities. We have the right strategies in place. And so we're holding. We have not adjusted our guidance on year end. We still believe we can be up as high as 10%.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not easy to jumpstart the revenue line item, given the fact that you guys have been spent a fair amount of management time on restructuring the balance sheet and operations. So.
Yeah, to give you a football analogy, we talked about moving from defense to offense, and then what we have to realize is that we have the same players going from defense to offense. So, we're catching our wind. We're starting to make sure that we really understand what's happening in the field. the overall industry is soft and down and feeling a lot of pressure. There's been a lot of speculation from key customers that the Walmarts of the world, the club stores, are taking a big bite out of the retail trade, and major retailers have been unable to recapture that growth. So store traffic is moving towards the big giant of Walmart, which is good. Our business is up dramatically at Walmart, but not up enough to counter the overall trend in, I'd say quarter one softness in consumer buying behavior.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We expect that that will be short-lived, and we'll work through that.
Now, just as a result of the fact that, we've now taken Finova out and there's better clarity and better availability on the working capital line, isn't there a significant amount of pipeline refill that'll occur, or not necessarily?
Not really, because our fill rates have been pretty strong for the past 26 weeks, up in the high 90s. So now the issue is getting new SKUs into the pipeline, getting more slices, more shreds, and more chunks in points of availability. So every new one that we can get into the current accounts, that's where our build will come. We haven't had bad fill rates, for about 26 weeks. Now, it's nice to go from 90 to 100, but that really doesn't jumpstart your top line. It helps you keep your customers happier. And now that we're at the high fill rates, our real focus is on availability. Get our products, more of our products, into the stores and generate 20,000 points of distribution by the end of September.
Yeah. Now, any customer pull initiatives that you've put in place where you can talk about early results, recognizing that it's still early and you probably have limited data?
Yeah, the best way to see the movement is through our Information Resources Incorporated, IRI, scanner data. And, we're doing some lead market test work. I don't want to talk too much about what geography that's in, but the marketing and advertising efforts that we're doing there are a kind of cooperative effort between trade spending and overlay consumer promotion efforts and radio advertising. And what that's doing, initially I can tell the results because we're getting authorized new SKUs into major key accounts in the geographies that we're starting to do that in. Now that has to translate, as I said, into shipments and then ultimately into consumer pull. But we have a lot of confidence after talking with the brokers and meeting with the key retailers that that's going to have an impact on our business, particularly in the geography that we're focusing on. And that kind of spending is what's going to justify further spending in the next year. So it's really a good lead market test. And we do have a couple of national efforts going on where we'll be advertising in Prevention Magazine on a national basis and dropping a coupon. And we know historically that's done nice things for our business and expect it to do that again.
Yeah. And my final question is on the selling expense side, recognizing that you guys are ramping up selling expense and it increased significantly, at least year over year. What can we expect on a going forward basis from that line? It was $1.3 million this quarter, and recognizing that you guys spent some money there in advance of sales to sort of restart the revenue engine.
Are you talking in total dollars or in percent of sales?
Total, both.
It's all pulling up our
forecast. Pulling out my budget. For the second quarter, we're budgeting about $1.4 million or 13.2%.
Okay.
And the third quarter, $1.4 million, which would equate to about 10.6%, because in the third quarter, the sales will be a lot higher. And then the fourth quarter, $1.3 million, 9.2%. So it should hold at $1.4 million or so across the board. But the ratios will go down because the sales should be going up.
Yeah, right. It's a classic consumer packaged goods model where you invest in the first two quarters for second and third and fourth quarter growth.
Gotcha. Okay, good luck, guys.
We appreciate it. Thank you, Kyle.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question today, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. We go back to Henry Melman with John Hancock.
Yeah, Chris, could you just give us an idea, if at all possible, when we might see for Marjorie Bell producing the product over in Europe?
I took this in the past, and I'll reconfirm it.
Okay.
Marjorie Bell is taking a very classic, methodical look at our business and their own business. And so what they're doing, Henry, is they're starting to conduct in-market testing in the countries that they are considering.
Mm-hmm.
Going in and doing concept work, product concept fit, how does it match, how big is the marketplace, and so forth. they will use us as the manufacturer, and they will distribute, I'm guessing, for the next 2 to 3 years as they enter the marketplace and start penetrating and understand how the business actually works. And then at some point, year three through year five is when they might actually convert to manufacturing. So the deal is they're a master licensing and distributor of ours.
Right.
And they have the right to convert to manufacturing when they choose to.
And you'll get a royalty for that.
And we'll, exactly. Then we'll get royalties out of that on an ongoing basis.
What's the expectation of the of this year's sales that they would be distributing? This fiscal year sales.
Yeah, conservatively, we've put nothing into our plan because I want to encourage them to leverage their core competencies. And they're, what they do best is they enter the market with a 3 to 5 year look.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go slow. We're going to, where we can, we'll start enabling them to get into our business, understand what we do there, and reduce our focus on international so that they can start concentrating. But we're not building revenue into our plan in the short term for them. We want them to do the right thing. We want them to pony up their own money to invest behind the proposition as they go in.
Okay. And what percentage of your sales now are institutional? Do you have a sense outside the grocery chains and the Walmarts and such?
Yeah, I'd say around 10%.
It's only about 10%.
Yeah, we're still, and that's where we have huge growth opportunity, and where, again, we're looking at casual dining restaurants and quick service restaurants as a way of increasing our top line. And food service is a very efficient way to grow your business as long as you can balance your margin and your product mix.
Right.
It doesn't take a lot of ongoing marketing expense to keep that business going. And, you know, as a result of the R&D efforts and the efficiencies in operations and just the overall health of our business, we're starting to get much better, I'll call them, entrees into food service, where operators who may not have looked at us in the past see us as more credible,
mm-hmm.
have an opportunity with them. And the improvements we're making on the product side is really opening the eyes of some major food service operators.
Okay. And anything on Tropicana Smoothie?
The smoothie is still on a national basis in our national health food set. That channel is a bit slower and doesn't really generate the velocity that we would expect from major retailers. We're not pushing forward with grocery yet until we balance our overall mix and we're sure that we have everything right and fixed there. So we're holding on going into grocery there, and we don't have authorization from Tropicana to go into grocery. So we're staying in the food service and the natural food arena first. I'd say we have moderate success there. We're turning probably a third of the case of store per week. And depending on what retailer it is, that's acceptable, and to others, it is it needs help.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a robust selling item at this point. We need to continue to work that effort. And again, you know, I call that the Michael Jordan in on our bench. We need to find a way to get him in the game.
Who's gonna shoulder that in terms of getting the customer out knowing about the product? Is that going to be you, Tropicana, or the two of you, or what's the game plan there?
As well as obviously our key salesmen who work in the natural foods sector of our business and the food service sector. So we have a major food service operator who has indicated authorization of that item. It'll take time to get that rolled out into their distribution system, and then we do have distribution in natural foods where now we're working on trade spending and some sampling efforts to see if that business will kickstart. There's no risk to our plan in that number with the smoothies. So if they work, it's great upside. If they don't work, we haven't lost a thing.
Okay. Have any new products been introduced during this quarter? I know you talked about the number of SKUs that are down. I just wondered if there are any new products.
Technically, no new products. We are working on initiatives that take us a little bit more mainstream, and mm-hmm. we're focusing there on, again, food service arena first. It's a little bit more under the radar screen, and it's an easier way for us to enter into the market with those.
Mm-hmm.
Items from a spectrum of positioning, you have conventional cheese all the way to the right, you have our rice-based products and natural food all the way to the left, and you have veggie somewhere just left of center.
Mm-hmm.
And the new items that we're looking at take us a bit more from the middle towards the right-hand side, which is towards the conventional cheese arena.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great-tasting, terrific health benefit item that we're working on leveraging into some major food service operators. So we'll start there, and we'll continue to do R&D work and prove out the proposition before we launch in a big way into retail or natural foods.
Yep. Has there been any further progress with Pizza Hut?
Pizza Hut, we continue to have dialogue, which is really what we want to have. We're doing around 2% of sales in the Fort Wayne area, so no significant change in volume coming from Fort Wayne. But again, the R&D work that we're doing is enabling us to have access to conversations with Pizza Hut that we have not been able to have before. So that's really all I can say about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry.
Thank you.
We go to Kyle Kruger with Apollo Capital.
Let me ask you guys one big picture question. Significant movement underway in school lunch programs across the country to significantly increase the health of the foods that are served in those programs. Are you guys taking a look at trying to gain entree into any of those programs? Any opportunities there?
The answer is yes, yes, and yes. We're doing everything we can to work with the Ciscos of the world, the Aramarks of the world, to ensure that we have products in their hands so that kids can get access to our products. It's really an issue of school systems are a bid program. There's lots of political challenges of getting through that system, but we're going to work it through the distributors and the food service management companies as our allies and partners to make us available to the school system.
Is there an opportunity to actually get Galaxy products spec'd in?
Absolutely. Yeah. That opportunity does exist, and you know, we are working with Cisco is one where we're working on a program that they have to get a number of our items spec'd and get in. I can't say for sure at what level of schools we'll be in. I mean, certainly college universities is a huge target. We'd love to get in K through 12 and give our young kids an opportunity to fight the obesity trends and get healthier as we go. It's really hard, Kyle, to understand how and when that will happen.
Right.
But we're partnering with the right food service operators to put ourselves in position to make that happen.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Kraft, for instance, according to my understanding, has stopped advertising on the in-school network. They've been a heavy advertiser and have either cut back significantly or stopped advertising on the in-school network as a result of, you know, fat issues associated with some of their products. So.
Absolutely. You know, the timing is right. The products we have are ideal. And now it's a function of getting the right time in the right place in the right group.
Yeah. I mean, we're the flip side of that. And there's a vacuum that's being created by, you know, the guys who are running scared because they're contributors to the problem at the time when political will is building significantly to increase the health of those products.
Well, we're on it, and we're trying to get ourselves in position to be sucked into that vacuum.
Yep, great. Thanks.
Thank you.
There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. New for any additional closing comments.
Thank you very much. We have very little doubt that consumers will continue to follow their appetite for healthy foods and return to our category, and therefore have the healthful cheese products category return to past growth rates. And, you know, as Kyle was indicating, there is huge opportunity out there that we can fill the chasm that the major corporations have not been able to do at this point based on the current health trends. So to this end, we're going to stay the course, we're going to execute our board-approved plan, and we're going to look to create and harvest upside top line in the second half of the year. So my closing comments are, we're staying the course, we're on it, and we're trying very hard to ensure that our plan is executed and that we deliver the results in the second half. Thank you very much.
That concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.